We have looked at a few different ways that we are to practically follow Christ. And looking at his life, we can see that Jesus' life can really come down to three different relationships that he focused on. The first one was relationship with his Father. The second one was a relationship that he had with his disciples, other believers. And then we also see that Jesus focused on relationship with those who were far from God. If our life is to look like Jesus, and it is, then that means that our life should also focus on these three relationships. And so even our mission statement, I would say, points to these three. And so if you would look at the mission statement here at First Baptist Skytook, it is that we exist to connect people to Jesus. His truth, the truth of God is our foundation. It is what we are called to live. Just as Jesus spent time with the Father, you and I, it should be our focus that we spend time with the Father. His family, we are to be connected together. We are a body. As a body, it means that we encourage one another, we challenge one another. And then we are to be connected to his mission. We are to connect people. Not only are we to be a part of the mission, but we're to connect others to be a part of the mission. And so by doing that, it means that that should be our focus, is that we build relationships with people who do not know Christ or who are far from him, so that we can share what he has done in our life and give and share the hope that we have found in Jesus. And here at First Baptist, small groups are our primary strategy to fulfill this mission. And the reason why small groups are our primary strategy, it isn't just a strategy that we have come up with. It is actually the example of Jesus. We see this in his life, that he gathered around him a group of men, and he poured his life into them. And by pouring his life into them, that they in turn would multiply and do the same thing. And so there is, to kind of unpack these a little bit more, one of the things that we see that Jesus did in talking about spending time with the Father is he used a word that you've heard me say over and over, and that is abide. We are called to abide in Christ, meaning that we are to remain in him. We're to walk throughout life with him. And as we do, that the Jesus in us will come through us as we live our lives. As we connect with each other, we are to be connected. A word that we use is to be connected. So we point people to his family. We are family. We are part of the family of God, and we are connected. And we'll unpack that some more today. And then the last thing is that we are to be a part of his mission, meaning that we are to share Christ with this world. We are to share of the wealth of hope and peace that he has given to us, and we're to proclaim that, and we're to share that with others. Amen? So a couple of weeks ago, we looked at spending. The only way we can build relationships in these three areas is by time. Everything. If you want to be closer to someone, there is no other substitute than for spending time. So if you want to grow closer to God, it's by spending time with him. And so a couple of weeks ago, we looked at this first strategy, and that is by God time. If you and I would spend time with God every day, we would make that our focus, is that at some point, I even challenge you to just a 1% of your day, just 15 minutes, that you would set aside time to spend with God, it would radically transform your life. And so this could be defined as time spent daily alone in fellowship with God. Again, there is no substitute. And if you spent time with God this week, each day, and benefited from that time, just say amen. 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 Yes. And I tell you, it is powerful. And listen, if you are not setting aside time to spend with the Lord, I just want to challenge you. 1% of your day, a great starting place. Open the Word of God at one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Dive in, get to know Jesus. Remember, the goal is not to finish a chapter. It's not to finish. It is to spend time with him, get to know him, ask questions of the word as you read it. Second thing that we looked at last week was gather time. This is time that we come together, that you and I would give time each week to make sure that we are spending time together. And the power of worshiping together, Drew just mentioned a minute ago about how powerful that is. And so this is time spent weekly gathering in worship with my church. Today, we are going to look at group time, time spent consistently in community with a small group of believers. And then next week, I want to challenge you to come back as we look at go time. And this will be time that we spend sharing the gospel or going for the sake of the gospel, annually going on mission. And so, super excited about that. And as we dive in, again, we see this in the example of Jesus in Mark chapter 3. If you want to hold your spot here in Colossians and look at Mark chapter 3 with me, I want you to see what it says here about Jesus. It says, "And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him." This word, "he called to him," it wasn't just a "come here and stand by me." It was a call to do life together. It was this relational call that he had upon them, something that was definitely a part of their culture. What it would be, a rabbi would call followers who would literally follow him throughout life. And so this is what Jesus was calling them to. It's the same call as "follow me and I will make you fishers of men." It was this call to come and live life with me, and these men did that. 3.5 years they went with Jesus everywhere that he went. "And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach." This was a call to go with him. Now in Colossians, where we'll be at today, if you don't mind standing in honor of the word of God, this is chapter 3, we'll read in verse 12. Just to give you a little bit of context that is going on here is Paul has written this letter to the church at Colossae. He is challenging them, and has now pointed them at the first part of chapter 3 that if you have been made new, in other words, if you have surrendered your life to Christ, if you have been made new, then you will have put the old self to death. The nature of who you used to be has been put to death. And so now comes this challenge. Are you ready? He says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Father, we thank you so much for your word. We ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear the truths that you would have us apply to our lives. I pray that we would leave here different, challenged because of your word, and that, Lord, that we would be better united as a family, be better united in this mission that you have called us to. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Here we see the example of Jesus back in Mark 3. Here in Colossians, we see this challenge. How are we to live this life? Why is it that here at First Baptist, our small groups are strategy? And to answer that question, I believe that we will see three different things here in this scripture, in this passage. And the first one is, within small groups, I can faithfully follow Jesus. According to Colossians, with this command to do these things to one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to pray for one another, to sing psalms and things together with thankfulness, all of these things to one another, we can only do that in community. Now, I believe that the Lord can transform your life and does. I believe that there are many things in obedience that you'll do and you'll experience in God by yourself. But there are so many other things that we only learn and experience as we do it together. Amen? I mean, I think about even just this discussion that we heard about Hope Pregnancy and abortion. 1 in 4 women was a statistic that she said have had an abortion. And so that means that there are probably several of women here in this room who have had an abortion. And now it is the power of coming together and sharing about those hurts. It is the coming together and the power that as we come together and share, that some of you would look at some of these ladies and think that they have it all together and have never experienced any kind of hurt in their life. But it is when we come together and we share that we see that God is a God who redeems. God is a God who forgives. God is a God who is right there with us. And though we may have some things in our past that hurt, we can have hope that He transforms and helps us in the future. Amen? You see, groups are so powerful in things like that. A couple of things I want you to see. Look at verse 13 with me. He says, "As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." We'll unpack this here in a minute, but there is a word there, it's very powerful, and is the word "you." In the original language, there's not a good word to translate this, so it's always just translated into "you." But in the Greek, this word is plural, meaning a great word that here in Oklahoma we know full well, it's "y'all," right? And so in other words, it's saying just as the Lord has forgiven y'all, so y'all also must forgive. But he keeps going and he mentions it. Look in verse 15. "Let the peace of Christ rule in," this one's a tough one, "y'all's heart," right? And so my point is that this is written not just to you singular, but it's written to a group of people. A people who are doing community together. A people who are standing by one another and living life together. And I just want us to realize that this is written so that we can understand there is power as we live life together. So he tells us some things to put on. The first one here is compassionate hearts, up in verse 12 is where we'll be at. Compassionate hearts. This word compassion in the Greek really, and I don't always point back to the Greek just because I want you to know the Bible is understandable, but there are some words that are picture. They paint this picture, and this is one of those words. Compassion, it means the bowels or the innards. And so in the Greek, at the time, they actually believed that this is where all of the emotions came from. So what he's pointing to here is this heart of compassion, or this compassion that rises up from within. It's used to describe Jesus as he saw people at different times. For instance, right before he fed the 5,000, it said Jesus had compassion upon them, and so therefore he fed them. Or he had compassion upon the people, and so he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. You see, for Jesus, that compassion, that yearning from within, it created action. And you know, I don't know about you, but anytime the bowels start to yearn, action's getting ready to happen, right? But, you know, so I say that just to say, sorry, side note there, that's not in the Bible, okay? But this yearning from within, it is this love and compassion that you can't just move on by without doing something. Does that make sense? It brings you to action. And so then he mentions kindness, to put on kindness. So he's already mentioned things to take off in the first part of chapter 3. And so if we've taken off these things, he's now saying to put on. In the old nature, before you knew Christ, you're to take all that off. Now you're putting these things on. Put on this compassionate heart. Put on kindness. Don't be rude to each other. No, you're putting on kindness. Humility. In other words, as I put on humility, I'm putting others in front of myself. Nothing's going to be beneath me because I'm not going to think more highly of myself than I ought, but I'm going to be willing to get my hands dirty. I'm going to be willing to wash the feet of the people that I love, of the people of my community. It's this picture. And then I love, even as we talk about meekness, this gentleness or patience. In other words, I'm not quick-tempered. I love this bearing with one another, because I think that it is probably one of the things that most of us need to hear, and it's almost this put up with, right? I mean, people are hard. Amen? Some of you just said amen. You're the people we're sick of putting up. You know, I mean, it's hard. People are hard, right? And, you know, because people are hard, sometimes that's kept us from maybe being part or letting people into our lives. But this bearing with one another is love them in spite of their faults. Love them in spite of their weirdness, right? We all have our own weirdness. It's okay. Embrace it, you know? But love them in spite of that. What I'm saying is that there is this grace that the Lord extends to us that he's asking us to extend to each other. And then forgiving each other. It would have been fine if he just said forgiving each other, but he gave an amount of which we are to forgive. And that is to forgive as we've been forgiven. When you start to put that upon yourself, think of all the things that the Lord has forgiven you for. Man, I don't know about you, but my list is long and deep. And so then when we know that you're going to be hurt because people are hard. And so when you're hurt, it is love them in such a way that you're to forgive them as the Lord has forgiven you. And that's hard, but it really sets you free when we forgive those who have hurt us. A lot of times we hold on to resentments, and the person we resent doesn't even know we have them against them. No, no, no. Set them free. And here's the picture that is painted as we do. He says, above all else, put on love. This is agape love. This is the love of Christ, which binds everything together. It is this love of Christ that helps us in every single one of these areas. That I can be kind, I can be forgiving, I can be loving, because of the love of Christ. It compels me. It drives me. And unless we allow that to happen, then we're always going to be naturally go back to selfishness, because we think it's natural to put ourselves in the center. Even last week, as we were talking about gathering together, my prayer has been that you came to church today with a different mindset, that it's no longer about what all about you or about if you're comfortable or if your preferences are lifted up. But instead, my prayer has been that you come here today with the mindset of, Lord, how can you use me to impact others? Hopefully that's the case. Because as we do that, that's when we can be better connected with one another. It's a clear call to unity. And I just want to say that these commands here in Colossians can only be lived out in community. We see a great example of this in Acts chapter 2. In verse 42, it says that these are the new believers who, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, meaning the Word of God, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves. They gathered together in the temple, but also in each other's homes. And we see this picture of them gathering together, sharpening one another, praying with one another. And this ought to be the picture that we live out our lives as well. And so not only can I faithfully follow Jesus, but within a small group, number two is I am challenged. I'm challenged. I'm challenged by you. I'm challenged by the other people in my small group or discipleship group. And there are multiple ways. I'm challenged as we seek Jesus together. In verse 15, it talks about this peace. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. It's this peace that rules in our lives. And when I see you walk through something really hard and difficult, it is that peace of Christ that you trust in that challenges me. It challenges me to have that and long for that same peace. Do you see that? Or as we come together and we sharpen one another, as I hear about why you do certain things, or like this morning when we gathered together, we dove into the Word together in our Bible study time and talked about how God is faithful and He is a faithful God to keep His promises. Amen? We need to be reminded of that. And then to hear in people's lives about how God has kept His promise, that He is faithful. I'm challenged by you, and we're challenged by each other as we come together and hear about our lives. I'm challenged, second way I'm challenged as I see Jesus in others. Verse 16 says that, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." There are, as we gather together, there are some things that I see in you that challenges me. When I see Jesus love through some of you, just like extravagantly, like in ways that I haven't yet let Jesus love through me, or the way that I see Jesus forgive, or the way that I see Jesus just show Himself in excitement or worship, I'm challenged by that. And we're challenged, we're able to challenge each other. My prayer is that we are not a church with small groups, but that we become a church of small groups. What I mean by that is that as a church, we are made up of small groups, people who are connected and being challenged and encouraged each day. And then the third way I believe that we are challenged is as others speak Jesus into my life. I'm challenged by that. There are times, even today after the first service, one of our men came to me and he was talking about one of the aspects of the teaching today. And man, he just shared Jesus and what it looked like to him. Man, it greatly challenged me. And you see, we do that for one another. Here the word he uses is admonish. It means warning or to correct. Sometimes we say things and maybe we've believed things for a long time. But when we've let the word of, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. When the word of Christ is dwelling in us, then it's the word of Christ that starts to become our language. And when it starts to become our language, then we're able, not in the way of like, I have this knowledge over you and so I'm going to correct you, but in the way of just by sharing about who Jesus is to us and how we respond to Him. It is that truth, that word that dwells in us that starts to shape and encourage and challenge other people. And it does the same for me when you share the word. And so you see how we sharpen one another. Last thing I want us to see, and we'll be done, is within a small group, the mission is accomplished. Here in verse 17, it says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Before we go to there, I just want to talk about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God right before then. Man, aren't you so thankful for the way in which our worship team just worships God and allows us to be a part of it? Aren't you thankful for that? I tell you, I'm so thankful for our people. And listen, you know, I know because of, how we're raised, or maybe songs that we have sung over the times of our lives, there are probably many of you who came in here who have preferences as far as the type of worship. But you know, I just want to tell you that isn't it awesome that we can come together and we can lift up the name that is above all names powerfully, humbly, and just as we were challenged last week, we don't have to do it all the same, but we do in the same way lift up the one who is deserving of it all. And so, anyway, again, we accomplish the mission together. And I just want to say, we have a mission. And I know that I remind us of that mission probably weekly or all the time. Because, and here's why. I just want to share my heart. Is because we naturally make it about me. We just naturally do. Over and over throughout the New Testament, we are called to set our mind upon things above. This is not our home. And because it's not our home, we need to be careful when we start to make it our home. And so I will remind us over week after week that there is a mission. You have been called. You have been set apart to proclaim the King of Kings, because he is worthy not only of our worship, but he is worthy of the worship of every single person in this world. Amen? He is worthy of their worship as well. And if we're not careful, we will come here, and even as we talk about small groups, we'll start to make them just our holy huddles, right? And we'll say, hey, this is ours. Don't mess with us. Don't cause us or lead us to split or multiply in any way. And listen, I just want to, in the greatest of love and encouragement, say there's a place for that, and that is heaven, right? We will be there for eternity. We'll be able to gather together with all the people that we love. No one will mess with you, okay? But I want to tell you, that's not here. And so when we're here, we have a mission. And so even our small groups is at the forefront of this mission. And so leaders, if you lead a small group, I just, in the greatest of love and encouragement, just want to ask you, how are you leading your group to be a part of the mission? Are you raising up a leader in such a way that you are already starting to tell your group, hey, listen, we're going to at some point multiply, and then our prayer is that they multiply and we start having some grand groups, right? Like they're grandbabies of our group that we have multiplied, and some of you already start pointing them out. Some of you are getting ready to be leaders. Hey, you might be a leader. You need to be thinking about that and preparing your life for that. You see, there's the mission. There's a mission that we are part of. And it's a mission that involves every one of us. And it is through our small groups that we help fulfill the mission. We see this in Jesus. He raised up these 12 men. They were spread out because of persecution. And as they did, they grabbed others. We see that in Paul. He grabbed men like Timothy and others, and he equipped them and trained them and then left them in places so that they would lead. And he even told Timothy, hey, hand these things off to men who can hand it off to other men. And he challenged them. This is the model. This is the plan. And there's no plan B. This is the plan of God. It is that we disciple, make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And so I just want to challenge you to think about it. If you are coming here and you have not yet been connected into a small group in the way of application, I just, with the greatest of encouragement, this is how we grow. This is how we are encouraged and challenged. This is how we are part of the mission. And so involve yourself in small group. Prioritize that in your life. If you would like more information, right outside these double doors here, you'll find the Hope Pregnancy Center table. Just right on the other side of that is a whole wall of small group. And listen, a step beyond a small group, I would say, is discipleship groups, intentionally for the sake of multiplying. And if you'd like more information about that, please come see one of our pastors. That is what we just believe that God is leading us to lead out in, is to create multiplying groups, ultimately, that will reach to the ends of the earth. As we get ready to close our time together, I want to give you a couple of opportunities. Back a few weeks ago, we talked about a family in Ukraine that we wanted to provide a generator for so that they can not only provide power when there are multiple blackouts, but also to be able to minister to others in their area, which they have already been doing. If you would like to give, the generator costs $2,000. Already we've raised about $900. If you would like to be a part of that and give toward that generator, you can do so. You can write that on one of the envelopes in front of you. Next week, as we talk about setting time aside to be a part of the mission of God and go, there's a mission trip. Right now, a group of five of us are planning to go on to Suriname. It is in February 10th. We'll be leaving. Right now, those are Isaac Stewart, Charlie Hess, Drew Posada, Gareth Lloyd, and myself. We'll be going on this trip. If you have a passport and could get the time off and wanted to go, we'll be staying in the jungle and helping the village as they repair some things on their school and then sharing the gospel in some of the surrounding villages. If that is something that you would believe the Lord is leading you to do, it's not too late. But if you can't go, but you would like to be a part of that team, Some of the people on the team are raising funds to be able to go, and so you can indicate that as well if you'd like to be a part of that. But church, I want to challenge us. We are all the time, we have a mission. Every Sunday, in close, I always remind us that you have been sent. And the reason is, you're not sent by me, you're not sent by this church. You have been sent, you have been called, set apart by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he sends you to be his ambassador. In other words, to speak on his behalf, to love on his behalf, to encourage and strengthen on his behalf. Allow the Holy Spirit to live through you this week. Let's get before the Lord. Father, we bow before you. We are so thankful. We are thankful for your presence here with us. We are thankful for the calling that you have placed on our lives. I pray today, as we have been challenged, that we would have a renewed priority for our group time. Lord, I pray for many who maybe haven't yet been a part of one. I pray, Father, that you would give them courage and strength to try. Maybe ask somebody which one they go to and join them. But Lord, I pray more than all of this that our groups would be reminded of the priority of the mission. That Lord, that we would be open, inviting, that we would be ready and willing to multiply for the sake of your kingdom. And so God, we love you so much. We are so in need of your presence and your power. Help us to be willing to lay down good things for the best things, Lord. So God, we love you. We need you. Lead and guide us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.